Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Weekend is Dead here on the Pop Culture Network. And we're streaming live as we usually do here on Monday mornings. I'm kind of stalling here for a minute because I want to check if the audio is okay. There have been some audio.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of...
Hey, there it is. Everything's fine. Okay. There is a bit of a delay on the video out there. So, all right, guys. Today, we are going to talk about Free Comic Book Day. Yay! Let me throw up my lower third here, guys. Those of you who are watching directly on YouTube, there is the YouTube chat, which you can type into and ask questions, leave comments, whatever. But those of you who are watching through some sort of embedded video source, you just clicked on the the link on Facebook and it's playing in the little window or on your phone or whatever, you want to leave a comment, ask a question, you can tweet me. And there is my Twitter handle right there. At PCN underscore dirt. It used to be just dirt. And then we did the Pop Culture Network thing, so I changed it to PCN underscore dirt. And I've always wondered if that underscore was holding me back. I mean, are underscores good for the Twitter community? I don't know. Anyway. Nonetheless, the weekend is dead, and man, I don't even have, this has been a tough morning. There's my little picture-in-picture that I don't even have a picture in yet. I did not sleep well last night. I have cats. I don't know if any of you guys have cats, but cats have this thing where, like, they don't want you to sleep. They're secretly trying to kill you. I guess it's not really that much of a secret. I mean, everybody knows that cats hate humans and want to bring us all down, but they just have this thing where it's like, oh, it's 2 a.m. I'm going to climb on your face, and then you don't get any sleep, and that's what I've been dealing with this morning. So I'm back on my off-brand donut shop blend coffee that I got from Dollar General. That's good stuff. All right, today we're going to be talking about Free Comic Book Day and some of the comics that are coming out. We're also going to talk a little bit of El Clasico, which if you don't know what that is, just stay tuned. We're only going to talk about it to talk about wrestling. We're going to talk about soccer to talk about wrestling. And I know some of you guys, you're going to go crazy. It's okay. We can do this, man. We can survive. We can hold it together. We can make it happen. Trust me on this, please. All right. So Free Comic Book Day is coming in a couple weeks. If you are unfamiliar with Free Comic Book Day, it's the first Saturday in May every year. So this year it is May 6th. And the way it works is that publishers make discounted copies of comics available to retailers for retailers to buy and give away. And the idea is it's supposed to bring traffic into the store, let people know there's a comic book store there, to let people, maybe they've seen some movies. I think this all started back when the original Amazing Spider-Man movies came out. No, not Amazing. Just Spider-Man. The original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies started coming out. And it made people go, oh, I liked Spider-Man, when I was a kid. I don't know where my local shop is, whatever. You had a lot of those types of conversations. So they started doing Free Comic Book Day. The idea was, the movies, the TV shows, DC started doing Birds of Prey, that type of stuff. And they were like, hey, we're going to do this as an event where people can come to the stores. We'll give them comics that lead into stories that are like feeders into comic stories or reprints of number ones, things like that. And the idea was that, you get the first one free and then you're hooked, right? That's how it's supposed to go. Although, the free comic offerings are just as, I don't know that I want to say spotty. Spotty's not necessarily the right word, but, it's just not always as an exciting offering of comics as you might hope, especially if you're trying to get more people in to take a look at this stuff. But nonetheless, let's take a quick look here. Let me turn off my lower third. Whoop. Take a look here at some of the... Before you guys freak out, I'm not just going to be looking at this thing. I do have some of the comics here. So we're actually going to take a look at some of the actual print comics here. But we're going to take a look at the website first and just get an idea of some of the books that are coming out. And, you know, just to draw your attention, there are gold level books, which are usually your upper tier publishers. And then there are the silver books, which are generally your lesser tier books, but it's not always that case. You can see, for instance, there's a Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy right here under silver. So I think they just, nowadays you just pay to be a gold tier versus a silver tier to get your stuff in there. But some of the stuff coming out that you might be interested in, even if you're not, you know, exactly a huge comic book fan, but there are some crossover things that might have some appeal for you. The Bongo Free For All. This is Bongo Comics is the group that makes the Simpsons and Futurama books. So that's something you might be interested in. Avatar. If you were a fan of the James Cameron, that terrible James Cameron movie, which they're going to make like four more of, that is there as well. Doctor Who, of course. There are what do you call yourself? Whovians? Whovenites? I don't remember. But there's a book for you guys there. Rick and Morty, of course. You guys, Star Trek. We got Zelda. And then in the silver tier, there are some things that tie in for kid stuff, like the Barbie right there, DC Superhero Girls, Buffy. This one's interesting. Kaiser Sose. We'll talk about this one a little bit. But yes, that's the guy from Unusual Suspects. Kaiser Sose is going to be getting a book there. And SpongeBob. SpongeBob is always a favorite with a lot of people. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Super, even. And then Underdog, actually. I'm kind of looking forward to that one. That one's not come out yet. We don't have that one yet. There's also Street Fighter, if you guys are interested in that stuff. So you can see there's just a lot of interesting things coming out. Some of these you may be familiar with. Some of them maybe you're not. But these are books that are going to be available at your local comic shop. Now, let me say something real quick before we get into talking about some of these print copies. Now, as I mentioned earlier, publishers make these available to your local comic shop at a reduced price. However, your comic shop is still paying money for them. Every copy that they are giving away, they have paid money for. Now, sometimes it's only 25 cents. Sometimes it's 35 cents. Sometimes it's 50 cents. It just really kind of depends. I think the only ones that were ever really expensive was Boom. I think it was Boom. Boom Studios used to do it was Archaea. Archaea used to do a hardcover that they gave away. And those, I think, cost like $1.25 or something. So, you know, we never ordered very heavy on those. Just because that's a lot more expensive to give away or something. Anyway, but they're still paying for the books plus the shipping. And that's something you got to keep in mind is that comic books are not light. it's not cheap to ship them. And so when you're going into the store and you're grabbing some of these books and you're like, oh, wow, free comics, keep in mind that your store has paid money for those. Plus, if there's other stuff going on in the store, if they've got people coming in and doing signings, or they've got people in costumes, or they're giving away candy, or they're, you know, handing out the free comic book day branded balloons or T-shirts or any of that stuff, all of that stuff they've had to pay for. None of that is actually free to the comic shop. Now, I mean, if there's a creator there signing, maybe they've paid them some money. Maybe the creator just said, hey, I'd like to, you know, sit and sell my stuff. So, you know, I'll come in and do it for free. But in exchange, I want to, you know, sell my prints or do sketches or whatever. And that's, you know, that's up to the artist and the store. That's not that big of a deal. But anything that you're the comics or the balloons or the, you know, whatever, someone had to pay for that. And it's your local comic book shop has paid for that stuff. And there's a little bit, you know, Marvel will print a book and, you know, they cover some of the cost because they figure it's like an advertising and promotion and, you know, whatever. But still, free for you does not mean free for the local store. So when you go in, grab something else. Grab something else. Grab a poster. Grab a pack of Pokemon cards. Grab, you know, a couple random comics off the shelf, maybe. You can sit there and flip through something while you're in the store, and if you're like, oh, you know, I like this free comic, I'll grab a couple issues while I'm here. You know, grab an action figure, do something, just grab something else. Because, you know, for us, part of this is also we do a giant store-wide sale just to get some things out, get some cash coming in. I mean, it's a way to, you know, retail is really hard right now. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but retail in the last 2 years is almost as bad as it was back in 2008. The economy has not been great the last few years. If you look around, stores are closing all over the place. Even like value stores like Kmart have closed and closed a ton of stores. It's just a bad time for retail stores. And with comics, you know, comics are now competing with digital. Print copies. I know there are people that fall into camps like, oh, I'll always buy print, or, you know, I only buy digital to supplement my print, whatever. But that's still something that's coming. And younger people, a lot of times, or guys with huge collections like myself that don't necessarily need to have a physical copy of everything, I do buy some digital. I do. So yeah, that is a little tough for your local comic book shop to always keep up with. So please buy something. When you go to your comic shop for Free Comic Book Day, buy something. You're going to do them all a huge favor and keep them in business. All right. Some of the books here that we are going to talk about. Let's jump into this stack. We've got the Secret Empire Zero, and then the back half of the book is a preview for Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man. I have a feeling this is going to be one of the most difficult to find on Free Comic Book Day. I know at our store, we do limit people. You know, generally three copies. You know, just take three at a time. We don't stick them all out in the morning so that they're gone in a couple hours. We put them out periodically throughout the day. So I have a feeling this one's going to be one of the first to disappear every time we refill the table. So, you know, if you really want this, you know, sometimes you can call your local comic shop and just say, you know, hey, I'd really like to get a copy of that. It's important to me. You know, can you save me a copy? And then, you know, do you have a Deathstroke action figure? And then set it aside with it and pick it up when you pick up your free copy. You know, do something like that. You know, a lot of times they will save one for you if you're going to be a paying customer of some sort. But Secret Empire, this has got, I love the artwork on this because it's Sorrentino, who does Old Man Logan. And this is a new story about what happened on the day that Captain America turned and started the fight with all the heroes, how the heroes fell. It's a little, I will say this, as a story chronicling how the superhero universe fell apart, it is very quick to jump through the details. There isn't a whole lot of where you can see the strategy of what's happening. It's mostly them looking back on how it was a problem and how they were all taken by surprise and how the stuff that day, you know, it went by so quick. You're not going to see a whole lot of strategy and like this guy's running over here to try to save the day, but he can't get there in time. You know, it's a very broad overview of people just getting shot or blown up or their powers or somebody else. But one of the neat things about it is that we see Steve Rogers take over the gimmick, I guess we could say, the gimmick of one of the other heroes from the Marvel Universe. And it is kind of surprising. It's not, it changes, I don't know, I'm trying to avoid spoilers here, so I don't want to get, you know, too deep into what exactly was going on. Yeah, it's really tough to talk about, but it is cool. I think any of you who are, if you're a huge fan of, you know, the Avengers verse, of those key characters of the Avengers, if you usually are the type that want to read the Captain Americas and the Iron Mans and the Thors and the Hulks of the Marvel Universe, this really has something for you. It's going to be a neat addition to the ongoing story. Now, the Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man, this does have a bit of a different feel. This is Chip Zdarsky doing the writing, Adam Kubert. And it is a much more lighthearted book than what we see a lot of times in Amazing Spider-Man. I don't read Amazing Spider-Man. I don't know, about the time that they did the whole reverse course on Superior Spider-Man, I kind of lost interest. It also seemed to, you know, quickly come out of nowhere. It was pretty poorly done, and I just kind of got sick of the whole thing. This one has a little different feel to it. It's a little more lighthearted, comedy-oriented. He is fighting the Vulture. Vulture has done some upgrades. There's also the return, well, not the return, a new villain appears taking over the moniker of another villain, and I'm not going to show it on here. I'm not going to spoil anything like that. But as you can see, the artwork is really nice. The story is a fun, lighthearted book compared to some of the stuff we see going on in Amazing. I'm actually, my son, he had some problems reading Amazing too. He didn't really care for it all that much. So we may try this one for a while. He really loved just Spidey. The one that was Spider-Man when he was younger. And we really like Renew Your Vows. We both read that one. So we may give this one a shot just to see if it holds up. But that one is pretty good altogether. Next, we have the Guardians of the Galaxy. And we've got the Defenders. And I don't think there's a cover. No, there's not the cover for the Defenders on the back. Now, this one, Guardians of the Galaxy, they've been arrested by the Nova Corps, and they want to escape and get back to traveling around the universe and, you know, a couple things they want to get done. This is Jerry Duggan. It's got some comedy. Some of it, you know, he's pretty hit or miss a lot of times. You know, some jokes just kind of fall on their face. Some of them are okay. The artwork, I think it's Aaron Cooter. The artwork is pretty good. Although it is a little different, and I don't know if some of the differences have been going on in the regular Guardians. I don't read it. My son used to, but he actually gave up on it. He got a little tired of it during the Bendis run. Now that Bendis is over, it's another guy taking over. Maybe we'll give it another shot. Excuse me. Coffee. Now, if you've got little kids, I would not recommend this. And when I say little kids, like if you've got maybe a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, whatever, that you know, likes the watching the movies on TV because you play them and they pretend they're superheroes. I think this is a little older. You might want to stick to the Marvel Adventures one. There's some stuff in here that I don't really recommend for the kids. However, if you're, you know, a fan of Guardians, of course, there's a new movie coming out. You're definitely going to want to check it out. That's what most people are in it for. Now, as far as the second story in here, the Defenders book, I have to say, I've got no interest in this whatsoever. If you're the type of person who reads Daredevil or Power Man, Luke Cage, whatever, Iron Fist is in this, but he's not like what's happening in his current book. I like his current book. This is not that. This is street level New York City. You've got guys with superpowers who are fighting a crime lord guy who apparently doesn't have any superpowers. He's just a connected mafia dude, gangbanger, gun runner, drug dealer, pimp. So, honestly, I read through the entire thing just to give it a shot. But when I got done with it, I just have zero interest in this book. If you like the street level heroes, then by all means, you're going to enjoy it. But for me, Daredevil lost my interest in this current run. Like I said, I like Iron Fist and his Kung Fu tournament that's going on in his current series. But I mean, really, this is not the book for me. It's kind of ho-hum. I always get, when you have people with superpowers and they're just fighting regular dudes with, you know, guns and explosive drones and, you know, whatever. It's just like, I don't know. You got dudes with superpowers. Have them fight dudes with superpowers. But that's not what this is. So I actually had a conversation with the guy. I'm going to jump into this real quick as we're, you know, taking a look at that. I had a conversation with Agent 70 of the Comic Book Chronicles podcast, which I will plug right now, Thursday nights. Follow me on Twitter, and you can find I'm a part of the Comic Book Chronicles podcast in association with theclicknation.com. And Agent 70 was talking about, you know, his love for the Marvel books. And I said, you know, I mean, he's from Brooklyn. Okay, so Marvel books being set in New York City, street level, I mean, that's pretty common for him. For me, I'm tired of New York. Like, I'm tired of all of these Marvel books that take place in New York City. And they don't, you know, Spider-Man should be swinging along on his vine and just, like, smack into, you know, somebody flying by every so often, you know. I mean, granted, they got rid of the Fantastic Four out of there, but I'm just tired of everything being New York in the Marvel universe. So, you know, all of these books that are, you know, New York City, to me, they all just kind of feel the same after a while. So when we're looking at a book like Defenders, which is, you know, that street level New York thing, it just really doesn't have a lot of interest for me. I don't really care. But of course, if you're a fan of Power Man and Iron Fist, if you like Jessica Jones, you're into that stuff, obviously you're going to love it. But I think more people are going to be picking it up for the Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just nice that you get a free Defenders story along with it. Time Shifters is a new kid-focused book. My son is 12. He loved it. It really is focused on that, you know, Cartoon Network group of kids. Basically, this MacGuffin device on his arm is a portal thing that it opens portals to portable parallel universes, and so he can just jump along. But he doesn't want it. But it bonds to him, gets stuck on his arm, and then he's pulled in with this crazy cast of characters running from world to world. And it actually is kind of interesting. I will admit, even though it's a Scholastic branded book, and you're going to find probably graphic novels for this, I'm guessing, in the Scholastic book order forms that your kids bring home from school as a comic, pretty good. So I'm pretty... I'm actually looking forward to seeing more of this particular title because I think it was a lot of fun the way it played out in this book. All right, we got Kaiser Sose and the Rift. Now, Kaiser Sose is the guy from The Unusual Suspects. And in fact, I think right there's a logo. I'm gonna switch to this other camera here for a second. Wait. This side, this right there. You can see the lineup. Looks like the lineup from The Unusual Suspects. You can see it right there. So it is branded. It is an official tie-in. And this is the story of Kaiser Sose coming to America and making his mark earlier on. So during, they make mention of Mayor Koch of New York, Ed Koch. So that, you know, certainly dates it. A lot of people have no idea that Ed Koch was the mayor. Was that before Giuliani? Yes, that was. As far as the story goes, this whole story is, I don't know, maybe 15 pages, 20 pages. And it honestly, it takes the span of 5 minutes. It's one of those, I'm a little worried about how the whole series is actually going to turn out because the story is so laser focused on this time and it's trying to break down every single detail and you really don't need it. And the way the storytelling is, you know, there's like at one point there's like this gasoline stuff on the ground. So it shows the gasoline and it shows the guy's feet in it and it shows him reach for a lighter and then it shows him open the lighter and then it shows him flick for a flame and then it shows him looking back at the gasoline. And it's honestly, it could be, to understand it and you get the idea, but the way they've broken it down, it takes so much time comic page wise in order to get through the story that it really feels like it bogs down. It really does, which is a shame. Now, maybe just because they were putting a sampler in here, they were like, hey, kill 20 pages with something that's not really that important just so we can show people that it ties in to The Unusual Suspects. Fine, you know, maybe that's what it is. So I'll give it a chance once the actual book comes out, but I am a little worried because I don't think this is the best introduction they can do for the character. Now, The Rift is a different series. This is actually, it says it's presented by Jeremy Renner, who is the guy who played Hawkeye. And he was in that one Jason Bourne movie that didn't have Jason Bourne. But it's there's some sort of government group that looks for these rifts, and when they open, there's some sort of rip in space-time. So this gives you an introduction to what a rift is like, And the first interaction that happens between this family and this character from another time period. It's interesting, actually. After I read it, I actually thought, you know what? I know that I think three or four issues of this have come out already. I may go back and track those down and read them. That was interesting. I think this is a good introductory story. And if I, let me flip back here a little bit. You can see the artwork from it. The artwork on it is actually pretty good. It's pretty, let's see here. That's the Kaiser Sose. It actually moves along pretty quickly. I think it looks good. It reads well. It's got a nice feel to it. Jumps right into the action and shows you some of that story. So I enjoyed it. I think out of the two of these, I was actually looking forward to this, and I was like, I'll give this a shot. Well, this kind of let me down, but this I really enjoyed. So I probably will go check more of that out. Hostage. This is actually the true story of someone who was taken hostage. Let's see, I say this as Guy de Leslie, right? Because that's what it looks like, but he's, I think, French-Canadian, so it's probably like Guy de Lacy or something like that. But anyway, he was an animator, Guy de Leslie, not the hostage, Guy de Leslie. He was an animator. He's done several books where, because he was French Canadian and not American, he had opportunities to go to places like China back when it was very closed off. It was much more fierce communist. He went to, Pyongyang, North Korea. He's traveled around to some very interesting places, and he basically writes these little vignette stories about what it was like living in those places, the people constantly following them, their phone calls being monitored, mail being monitored, taken to places to see like how great and wonderful it is, you know, like a whole bunch of people, working in some sort of like office place, but you could tell that none of the computers are turned on and they're all just, you know, kind of randomly tapping away, doing nothing. So it was very interesting, the stuff that he's done before. Now he's actually telling the real life story. I don't know, does it say in here? No, I don't think it does. But this is the real life story of a guy who was taken hostage in a foreign country. And so after he escaped, was let go, whatever, he wrote part of his story down, and now it's being adapted into comic format. Very interesting. Poppies of Iraq is actually a woman who grew up with dual French and Iraq citizenship, and so she was allowed to travel. They lived part of the time in Iraq, they lived part of the time in France, so she would talk about what it was like in Iraq under some of the different regimes. She's much older, so she remembers, you know, stuff from the 50s, 60s, 70s, with all the different, new leader coming in, killed everybody off. And then the new leader came in and killed everybody off. And then Saddam Hussein came in, killed everybody off, that kind of stuff. The art styles on both, on the hostage book, it's very realistic. Even though he is, a cartoonist at heart, does some, just some really nice character work there. Poppies of Iraq is much more cartoonish. It feels more like something you'd see in a daily comic strip. It's clean, it's nice, but very cartoony. Doesn't get into a whole lot of detail, and you can see doesn't really understand the comic page per se. It's just here's a little box with some information. Here's a little box with some information. Here's a little box with some information. So, but nonetheless, both very interesting stories. I'm looking forward to both of those. Catalyst Prime. This was a huge letdown. This is a new universe of superheroes from Lionforge Studios. Christopher Priest is the writer. Basically, there's this giant asteroid coming to Earth, and they shoot a rocket up there with a bunch of spacemen to try to stop the asteroid, and something happens, and people end up with some sort of superpowers and whatever. This book is 90% dialogue, very little story. It's a lot of people sitting around talking, with nothing really going on that's all that interesting. None of the characters are likable. Pretty much every character that you find in here is annoying in one way or another. There's not one single person in this book that I'll say this. There's someone who dies at the end of this, at the end of this story as a way to, you know, there's a little bit of shock, and the person who does it is trying to hide something. And so they murder somebody else. And honestly, I got done with it and I was like, you know what? Anybody could have died. It could have gone the other way. And this other person could have died and I wouldn't care. There's nothing to make you want to see more of these characters. There's nothing that makes you like this world. The dialogue that people are using is so Tumblr oriented. It's just trying so hard to be relevant and it's just annoying. Even though this is free and I grabbed it in advance, I may just take it back and throw it back in the piles, let someone else take it for free comic book day, because I just really don't care. Star Trek Next Generation, Broken, or Mirror Broken. This is the Mirror Universe in the Star Trek timeline. Things have gone very bad for the Empire during the time span of Next Generation, so things are different. It has this painted style to it, which sometimes is okay, and sometimes you end up with these weird anatomy lighting doesn't work, the shadow's a little off. You can tell that underneath they probably had some photos that they photoshopped and then, you know, painted on top of. And some of the stuff just comes across really weird. You have certain details in the background that are sharp lines, you know, very vividly, you know, stamped on in a computer, but then the rest is very soft, painted, missing details. The likenesses, for the most point, kind of work, but you'll see things like Troy's hairstyle will change on the same page. Like it doesn't look the same as it goes through the page. It's just off. So it is a little annoying sometimes, some of the stuff that happens. But it is interesting because it follows Barclay. If you remember Officer Ensign? I don't remember. Anyway, Barclay, Murdoch from the A-Team when he was on Star Trek Next Generation. So this is him in the Mirror Universe. And he's the central focus that you're following around, and you're experiencing everybody else through his eyes. And there are certain things, obviously there's no Worf because the Klingons and the humans aren't getting along in this reality. And so Tasha is still there. It's a different thing. It's neat. I really like the story. I think the story was well done and interesting. The artwork is just a little iffy in spots. If you can get past that, then you'll probably enjoy that. The Tick, brand new stories, three new stories in this one. Here's what's so great about The Tick. They do an election story where they have presidential debates with the candidates up there, and it doesn't pick sides. It skewers both sides equally. It's funny. And they aren't even the focus. They aren't even the bad guys The Tick is trying to deal with is not them. So I really enjoyed this. I think this is really well done. The new Tick TV show on Amazon, I'm not a fan of, but this has that feel of the original comics from back in the day. Everybody should pick up a copy of this. You'll love it. Tick is awesome. Here's the Bongo book with the Simpsons stuff. My son reads all of the Bongo Simpsons stuff, so I handed him the copy. He opened it up, and the first thing he goes is, oh, I've read that. That's a reprint. And then he flips through to another story, and he's like, oh, I've read that. Yeah, this is all reprint stuff. So I'm taking it on his authority that this is all just reprint stuff. If you've been reading all the Simpsons stuff, then there's nothing new here for you to find. If you haven't, though, then you want to know, is it good? It's actually, I do read some of these from time to time, and they are actually better than the TV show. This is much more... It continues the feel of, say, season 7, season 8, season 9, back in the heyday of Simpsons being pretty good, not modern Simpsons that has to sub-reference itself every 5 minutes. This is some pretty good stuff. So if you're not familiar with it, go ahead and pick that up. But just when you see Bongo, Bongo Comics is the name of the comic book company that does the Simpsons and Futurama stuff. So that's why that's there. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. This is a, I believe this is an original story. This felt fresh. I tried to spot check a couple books and I didn't see this story in any other issues. This apparently is going to lead into issue 73. Dimension X miniseries. So this is setting up for that. So again, like I said, it looks like it's all original, all new stuff. Kevin Eastman, you know, is helping to write these nowadays. That's why it's been so popular compared to the last series. The artwork is really nice. This is not the Nickelodeon cartoon. This is its own universe. So any of you who watch the cartoon and you want to jump in, there's actually one called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Adventures. If you see those, then those are the ones that are actually based on the cartoon. This is more of the feel of the original series, even though they've got the multicolored masks. They did address that early on in the series. They did all have red, and then they went to the multicolor later on. So if you haven't been reading these, you know, of course, it's been several years now that this particular series has been running, but it always gets high marks from the people who read it. It's good stuff, worth checking out. Grim Fairy Tales, this is all reprint stuff. You get the first few pages, I mean, maybe, I don't know, 8 pages or so of 3 different books in here. A lot of the Grim Fairy Tales stuff recently relaunched. So if you think you might want to check it out, I will say this. Grim Fairy Tales, when it originally started, it had very much this feel. You can see that the artwork here is, you know, kind of cheesecakey. When it first launched, it very much was the idea of you're going to see hot chicks running around, and there was stuff with always seemed like there were sorority girls getting in trouble or whatever. And it's in their DNA. They can't really escape the cheesecake stuff too much, but they have kind of gotten away from a lot of that stuff. They built their own mythology. There's a lot more interesting stuff going on besides just the random monster of the week type stories that they used to do. So there is some interesting stuff in here. Definitely check it out. If you think you might be interested, then this is a good way to get kind of a scattershot view of some of the stuff going on, and maybe you can find something to hop into. And then finally, SpongeBob's Freestyle Funnies. My daughter reads all of these. She says this is brand new. And in fact, they talk about Free Comic Book Day in here. That's part of the storyline of it. And you do get, there's a scene where they get to the comic book store. I'm trying to see if I can find it here real quick. And he's tossing a bunch of comics in the air. And so you can see one of the books I remember. Here it is. So you can see books like Mermaid Man Civil Disobedience 2 and Richie Fish, Suicide Squid, Sushi's Pal Slughead. So Shell Boy, there's just a lot of neat things to look at in the background of this. Even if maybe you're not a huge SpongeBob fan, it is kind of one of those skewering of comic book culture, fanboyism, that type of stuff as well. So that was a lot of fun. Even if you're not a huge SpongeBob fan, that is a good time, something neat to read. All right, let me change this camera to something else. And I don't want to drive you guys too incredibly crazy. I don't want to make you all run out of here screaming, crying, freaking out. I do want to talk about this just to talk about wrestling. I'm going to talk about soccer to talk about wrestling. Yesterday was something called El Clasico, okay? Now, in wrestling terms, this really is like the number one match worldwide. This is the most widely watched, top thing trending on Twitter. Everyone around the world was watching this. This was a huge event, and it's basically Madrid and Barcelona, you know, two cities in Spain, huge history going at each other, and they've been feuding for 100 plus years. And even there have even been times when, you know, Spain was under like a dictatorship. Real Madrid, the Madrid team, they kind of stood for the dictator, and Barcelona stood for the dissenters. And so there's a lot of history beyond just the fact that these guys are playing a soccer game. But here's the thing. WrestleMania this year, we had, I think, were the 13 matches altogether, and like three of them were pretty good. Most of them you didn't care about. A lot of the matches, you had stuff like Shane and AJ Styles, where they did a bunch of stunts, but it was a storyline they threw together in just a couple weeks. The ending was really kind of anticlimactic. It just got to a certain point. They did a bunch of stunts. It's like, okay, you've done all your stuff. You've used up your time. Now it's time to go home. And so they just took it home, and the match was over. So there was no real excitement to it, right? Excuse me. You kind of had the sense that Roman Reigns was going to beat Undertaker, but you know, you weren't really sure, so there was some interest there. But a lot of WrestleMania just felt, I hate to say dead, but it just felt like filler. A lot of the stuff, and especially because there's 9 hours of wrestling on TV, when you put together something like WrestleMania, the matches need to be more special, need to feel more important, and they just really didn't. WrestleMania has become more about the spectacle of the day that it's happening and the big event that you're gathering around for than any of the actual matches that are taking place. I mean, Miz and Maurice versus John Cena and whichever Bella, I've forgotten who it was. Who cares? Like, that was a terrible match. You know, it was time filler. It was a waste of time. It only existed to get to a point where John could get on one knee and show her the ring, you know, which for wrestling, I mean, do you care? When Macho Man and Elizabeth did it, that wasn't the point of going out there and having the match, whereas you could tell in this one, it was. The match was just a filler thing to throw out there to advertise the Divas show to give John a chance to hand her this ring. So, a lot of the matches, a lot of the stuff happening in WrestleMania was terrible. Okay, so the Classico, this soccer match, these two teams that were going at it, huge feud, came up to, you know, go against each other. You go into the first half, and both teams are able to score a goal. So you go to halftime, it's 1-1. So basically at halftime, you're back level at 0. And the reason why this is important is because soccer is all built on points. If you win the game, you get 3 points. If you tie, each team gets 1 point. If you lose, you get no points. So you really want to win in order to get the points. Here's the other thing. Madrid was 3 points behind in the standings. Barcelona was 3 points behind Madrid in the standings. So Barcelona really needed the 3 points to come up even to them. And if Madrid was able to get the 3 points, then they would jump so much higher in the standings, it'd be much harder for Barcelona to come up and match them. So they both really wanted to win because it was going to help cement their place. Either it was going to bring Barcelona even and make it that much harder for Madrid to pull away in their future matches, or it was going to throw Madrid so far ahead, it was going to make it almost impossible for Barcelona to catch up to them. So you had a storyline going into it that made it a big deal of who won. You get to halftime and it's back at 0. Second half starts and you're back at a clean slate. You're back at ground level. You're back at trying to push for a goal to get a winner. Now, here's the other key thing in soccer that you need to know. They don't stop the clock, like, ever. Like, someone's running along and he kicks the ball and someone tries to kick at him and they hit his ankle and he falls down. He looks like Sid Vicious at WCW Sin with his foot, you know, just kind of dangling off to the side and looks horrendous. They don't stop the clock. A couple guys will run out to check on him. They drive out the little go-kart. They'll take a stretcher, throw him on, drive him off. New guy goes out to take his place. The clock ticks down during all of this. So every time there's a foul, there's a penalty, there's a substitution, something, the clock is still running through all of this, which means when they get to the end of the match, the referee can add on some extra time. Now, and it's just up to his discretion. If he wants to add a minute, I've seen a minute added, I've seen up to 6 minutes added. It just depends on the referee. So, halftime, it's 1-1, so you're back at, you know, nobody's taking the lead on this thing. No one's jumping out and grabbing those 3 points. So you get back into the match and you get close call, you get close call, you get close call, you get close call. One guy fouls, gets thrown out of the game. And so one team now has 10. Madrid has 10 players, Barcelona has 11. So now Barcelona has the advantage. And they press and they press and they press and they just cannot score. And you get to the end of the 90 minutes, the end of the second half, and it's still 1-1. No one has won this thing. And the referee adds 2 minutes, and you've got 2 minutes time, and it comes down to this crunch of 2 minutes. And in the 2 minutes, somebody's got to score, and they are fighting so hard to score. And Madrid just takes up this idea like, hey, you know what? We're doing defense. We're going to block. We are not going to try, really that hard to push. We're going to try to hold, because if it goes 1-1 point, then we're fine. Barcelona's like, we have got to score. We have got to get in there. We've got to just pull ahead so that we can get the 3 points, and so it'll help our standings. We go back up even with them, and the whole future of who's going to be number one is called into it's in play. It's called into question. So Barcelona, with like 10 seconds left on the clock, a minute 50 into the 2 minutes of the extra time on top of the 90, Messi, who's like the number one known sports star in the entire world, is able to pop a kick right in. They get a goal. They win. There's nothing Madrid can do. And now Barcelona has won, and it's a huge event, and people are freaking out and going crazy. And it's this great cap to what was a huge game in a giant event and the most watched event on TV worldwide. And it's unscripted. Now, WWE is scripted. And I'm not going to call it fake, because fake is... it's said as an insult. It's not fake, but it is scripted. It's more in common with a TV show that you're going to watch, like Game of Thrones, than it is an actual sporting event. Wrestling isn't wrestling, in order to quote that famous film. And if you haven't seen Wrestling Isn't Wrestling on YouTube, you should probably go check that out. But nonetheless, WWE has the ability to lay out the story. They've got so many hours of TV to work up rivalries between characters, to build feuds, to add to storylines, to push for this big rivalry between these two characters. And then when it comes to a day like WrestleMania, and you put them in the ring and you're going to have them wrestle a match, you can do something different. Excuse me. Again, because it is scripted, because it is something that you're writing and you're making up and you're controlling, you have the ability to inject new things, interesting things, to do things with the characters and the storylines. And what we're getting nowadays in the TV show is just, we have to kill time until this one guy on his contract can come back. So they don't really push anybody else, because they have this other guy out there they're paying a lot of money for. But he's not there all the time, so they don't want to push him that hard. And you have these matches at WrestleMania that, where they come down to him, they are really just matches. You had the Kevin Owens Jericho in a Raw main event on WrestleMania. I mean, it was nothing spectacular to call out to WrestleMania. It wasn't a barnstormer of a match. It wasn't the greatest match of all time. It wasn't classic Canadian style catch-as-catch-can wrestling from two Canadian greats. It was just filler, because they needed matches, because they have to fill time, because it's WrestleMania, and it's got to be 5.5 hours long to justify the high price on pay-per-view that no one pays anymore, because everybody's got the network. Or they steal the network. And it's just so disappointing that a company like WWE, who has the ability to control everything, except maybe injuries, I guess, you can throw that out there. But the big guys weren't injured. They have the ability to build these awesome stories, these awesome rivalries, to have this stuff come together to blow apart at WrestleMania. And they just didn't deliver. And you got a handful of, a couple that were pretty good. And then you got like 10 that were just filler. In fact, out of the 10, maybe 4 of them were garbage. It just drives me crazy with what's going on in WWE. Yes, Kat, I am upset. So I was, okay, I'll knock it down. I'll quiet down a bit, okay? Will that make you happy? My cat doesn't like when I yell, apparently. So that's the thing. This soccer match, unscripted, real life, and it goes down to the final seconds, and it's an incredible thrill. Okay, all right, get out of here. It's an incredible, thrilling event, and yet the stuff that's scripted and written and made to be entertaining just isn't. WWE, if they need to push, guys. I mean, really, they need to push, guys. Now, I know Jinder Mahal is getting a push because they need to sell some TV time in India. They think he'll be a good guy on there. He's tall. He's got a nice build, so Vince thinks he can push him. But if you're going to push Jinder Mahal, he needs to win all his matches. And he needs to win against good guys. He needs to go up against top-flight guys and beat them. And not get beaten by guys that you don't care about. They need to find guys who, not necessarily younger guys. They don't have to be new guys. They don't have to be buff guys. But they have to be guys that you push and you don't lose. And they don't do comedy segments. And they're not getting into a food fight backstage. And they're not doing silly stuff like flipping over ambulances. Braun Strowman, I think, has come a long way. I think they've done some neat stuff with him. But still, some of that ridiculous stuff that they throw in there, I just don't understand. But WWE has the ability to make the best TV, excuse me, the best show that you possibly can have that is sports entertainment, and they consistently don't. They consistently have problems making anything interesting, drawing new great talent. And even if there's a guy who comes along like a Daniel Bryan or a Kevin Owens, they fight it so hard for so long until they finally give in. You know, they did everything to keep Daniel Bryan from being a top star. And then when they finally did it, it was huge. And then, of course, he got injured and it kind of made things tough. But he, part of the reason why he got injured, because he fought so hard for his spot because WWE wouldn't give it to him. Because he was not the guy that they wanted to be in charge, because they don't listen and they don't really push anybody and they don't really make new stars. Everybody who wins loses. Everybody who loses wins. That's just how WWE works these days, and it's so freaking annoying. And that's what I have to say about that. So, excuse me, man. We're gonna need to drink a little more coffee here. But all right, guys, I think that's going to do it for the show. If you have any questions about any of the free comic book day stuff, feel free to send it to me. Again, you can send me questions on Twitter. You can call our 24-hour voicemail line, area code 217-953-4025. Questions or comments, things you want us to cover here on the show. If you have specific questions about a toy line, a comic book, TV show, movie, you know, whatever, drop us a line, let us know. We'll look into it. We'll cover it here on the show. You know, Twitter, of course, at @PCN_dirt. You can email me, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. You can comment here on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook and the official Pop Culture Network group. Leave questions and comments there. Anything you guys, like I said, you want to talk about it, you want to cover it, we'll cover it on here. But anyway, guys, that's going to do it for me today. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.